Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Before we do anything, since this is the show, we're going to have content for you all week long, but this is the last taping that we're doing the week before Thanksgiving. This is Tuesday before Thanksgiving. So I really wanted to, this is the only opportunity I'm going to have to pass along what I try to pass along every year at this time. And we do the shtick, which I'm tired of doing, which is the heaviest travel day, heaviest shopping day. But this is a legitimate warning, and I experienced it firsthand down here in Southwest Florida. But be aware, in the next 24 to 72 hours, you're going to deal with the infantilization of America more than you ever do, and that is the first really big holiday weekend of the official Christmas holiday season. Mm-hmm. And what that means for all of you that may be on the highways and byways, if you're not aware of this, be extra vigilant, because now people are getting excited. Mm-hmm. People are incredibly distracted. People are trying to coordinate travel plans, and they're trying to make holiday arrangements, and they're trying to beat feet out of their employment as quickly as they can so they can go on to the fun stuff.
Does it help that everyone's urgent?
It does not, because we're all guilty of being toddlers this time of year.
Sure.
Not all of us, but there are exceptions to the rule. But
everyone on this show is.
In general, it's that's the way it is. And you're going to, I really hope you don't run into it, but there are some possibilities out there you will. And so just be vigilant, because people are going to do things like, for example, what happened to me yesterday, which was a lady in a pickup truck on a 3-lane highway who was essentially stopped. And I came up on her, and I wasn't paying attention because I had both my kids in the car, and we're talking, and we're thinking, and we're getting somewhere, and we're going, I think, to see Carla's new location, and that's where we were going. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and it was the equivalent of when someone's sleeping in a car, and then you look forward, and there's just a car stopped in front of you, and you wake the person up, and they go, ah!
Exactly.
The only problem is my eyes were open, and I was driving, and I didn't come close to hitting this person, but I could have if I was even a little more, just a little more distraction, and I would have rear-ended somebody. And then when we finally got around this person, I looked, and what I'm looking at is this.
Someone on their phone. Exactly.
Like behind the wheel, mouth agape, looking. Followed maybe within 5 seconds by a very expensive Mercedes, one of those rounded sports cars that did his very best to take either my bumper and the bumper of the car in front of me off. That flying and weaving to get where they needed to go. This was within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Of each other. So that
and also is, Monday of Thanksgiving week. It's
Monday.
Not really. It's not
even
really,
not even Wednesday.
It used to start Wednesday night.
Right.
Now it starts on Monday.
And everybody's excited. Everybody has things to do. There's urgency everywhere. Be careful.
Yeah.
Just be extra vigilant. And if you can be more patient. And I say this to myself more than anybody. Be more patient. Because if you're more patient, you get over into the right lane and you can chill, probably better for you.
Yeah.
That's all. That's my message.
You're
to
not
going to
shave any
everybody.
Time off your arrival.
We welcome back our executive producer from St. Augustine, Florida, who has tested double positive for COVID.
And that's a negative,
sure.
As you know. They cancel each other out. He's
they
got
do.
Two strains.
So he's back today.
COVID's
which is
not
great.
Real.
No, it's not. And neither are birds.
Back today. Welcome back. Glad you're feeling better, a little bit better. I love the fact that yesterday, and I told Carla this yesterday, I said it was kind of cool having Josh because I didn't get the feeling Rob and I used to get.
I thought you were going to say.
When he was in the comments yesterday, I loved it.
I did too. And it's almost.
Because I needed him for that particular subject, which was the subject of me behaving badly at a baseball game.
I missed you guys, and it's part of my routine in the mornings. So even though I was in bed and in no shape to talk, I was still able to participate a little bit.
It was, and I'm here to say that I am a man of my word, and I did reach out after the show yesterday to the coach that I was discussing, where I was where I let my emotions get the best of me and said, put my son higher in the lineup, which is, I believe, as I stewed on it and I thought about it, way out of line. On my end, I had no business doing that. I've always thought that if you're going to be that dad, which I turned into on Sunday, then get on the other side of the fence and coach yourself. If you're not and you're not participating, then shut the hell up and move on. And I'm saying that to myself because I meant it. So I reached out and I got a response, and we are moving forward, and that's a good thing. But I really felt that I had to do that. Really, that stuff like that weighs on me heavily. I don't blow it off. And I think that I don't even consider it accountability. I consider it just the right thing to do, you know, because you're an ass. And I have not, I will never stop being an ass on occasion.
Thank
right?
you, Mike.
Will
count
any
on
of
that.
Us, will any of us ever like not make a little mistake once in a while or a big mistake once in a while? But I think the measure of a person, of an individual, is how you respond to it. And I believe that we live in a world now where showing any sign of remorse or accountability is a sign of weakness. And I think that is complete and utter BS.
I agree.
So I have no problem.
Sending an apology is the perfect way to handle it.
Thank you for giving me that tip.
Because you don't want to be that guy. I have, as a coach, changed the way I manage players based on their parents.
Yeah.
And are you less handsy now?
Well,
stop it.
Yeah.
God.
Yes. I stopped doing the cup checks.
Good.
Oh, my God. Please stop it.
I had a parent that was such an issue when his son would pitch that I stopped pitching unless the dad wasn't there. If the dad didn't show up to the game.
You stopped him pitching?
I stopped him from pitching. If the dad showed up to the game, I would not let him pitch because the dad would be so intense on the fence that it would cause a problem with me, and then it would upset the kid, and the kid wouldn't pitch well. And then when the dad wasn't there, the kid was our best pitcher.
Remember when Scott Shannon used to play intense on the bench, on the fence?
This is Scott Shannon.
He had another
Hello,
game.
Hello, I'm a baseball coach.
What will we be playing today, Coach?
Intense on the fence. This is Pirate Radio.
Tomorrow, can we play the no pants dance off?
I am a professional disc jockey.
I'm sorry, pants off dance off.
Disc jockey. Oh, God.
Mike, I have to assume that you got a reply from the coach, and he probably said, you're right. You were right to do that.
No, it was a very, I thought it was a very responsible response. I read it to you guys before the show. I will not violate privacy by doing it. I can talk about it. It was
a good
cool.
response, and I think the response you shared before the show showed that it was the right thing to do.
Yeah,
100%. And I think that really when you do that, here's the thing. This is the way I feel about making amends if you feel like you've gotten you've engaged in bad behavior or you are in any circumstance, that if you feel it's legit, if you feel like you should, then you should.
Yes.
If you feel like you're doing it for any other reason, but you think it's BS, don't. Because if you reach out and say, hey, sorry about that, and you don't mean it, you're not going to feel any better.
No, and
if you mean it and you know you'll feel infinitely better because you have righted a wrong.
And it weakens your standing in the other person's eye because, trust me, they know it's BS too.
Of course they do.
Yeah, 100%.
This conversation isn't really about Little League. It's about being a human being.
It's about being a grown-up.
Yeah.
And as I said yesterday on the show, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the fact is, where it matters is, you know, the big leagues. Like, for example, if the New York Giants my beloved New York Giants were to, let's think of an example. Oh, I don't know. Fire a defensive coordinator.
Yeah. Yes. You think it's because the parents were yelling?
It wasn't because the parents were yelling. It's because they were throwing that red meat to the fans. And as a fan, I say, yeah, that's the mean part of me. Good riddance, Shane Bowen.
Do you think that Tommy DeVito's mom was instrumental in him playing? Do you think she yelled at
Tommy DeVito? No longer on the roster, Rob Spiewak.
I know, but I'm
I don't think he's on the practice squad. I don't think he is, but I'm
Mike,
not sure.
He had his moment, though.
He had his moment in the sun.
Do you think it was because his mom yelled at the manager?
No, I don't think Tommy Cutlets' mom ever did that. But yesterday,
he's currently with the Patriots.
Okay, yeah. Yesterday, the New York Giants let go of their defensive coordinator after, count them, five blown fourth quarter leads. Mm-hmm. Five. So goodbye, and we will see what happens
is
going forward.
Is this the seed of the problem, or is it just the beginning?
I said this is the kiss of death.
Oh, no.
Right
what?
Now, I said this morning to the fam, my son, my wife, I said, mark my words, Jackson Dart's going to come back this weekend. They've got a new defensive coordinator. Don't care who it is. They are going to play a great game. They're going to play their best game of the year. Now watch it be a total disaster.
History dictates, Mike, if you look back over the
story. I don't even know who they're playing this weekend.
That's what I was looking up. They play the Patriots on Monday Night Football.
We're screwed.
Mike, if you look over the history, the fabled history of the NFL, you'll know that 6 days is the perfect amount of time to fix a defense.
Well, they got Monday night. They got the extra day.
I'm glad they have the extra day. I really am. All right. Yeah. So
do they play well in the national spotlight? Does that make a difference for them?
No, they do not.
Okay.
No, they do not. As a matter of fact, you
not play well.
No, you could get statistics. I'm not sure exactly what they are. You could get statistics to bear it out 100%. But really, to each and everybody, I hope you're able to spend time with family members. We've got almost the whole family together, except I think I've been thinking a lot about my daughter, Catherine, and I hope she's got friends out there because we talked a bunch, and she's still in. I don't know where she's going to be because she's moving closer to home. She's actually going to be in Philadelphia. It's tough with her job to nail down where she's going to be from one moment to the next.
She sent me a text. She's going to be spending Thanksgiving at the old Veterans Stadium.
And and I think she wants to leave before Monday Night Football.
She definitely
because
does.
Because the stats show 38% of games the Giants have won on primetime games.
38%.
38%.
That's positive. And you're not saying 62%. That's good.
Well, the 62% would be if they won.
Yeah. 38% chance.
You knucklehead. Come on now. Get your statistics right. You know numbers.
Me. Yeah. Well, they did add up to 100 at least.
Scoob says, what? What happened to Tuesday afternoon? We're on the morning schedule on Tuesdays from here on out until probably next late spring, early summer.
If you need Tuesday afternoon, Scoob, listen to the Moody Blues.
Tuesday afternoon.
Don't please be nice. I like them.
So moving right along, I do want to say that it is great having the family here. My daughter, who I normally take recommendations from for movies, after Michael had one last baseball game last night, we all went. His sister got to see him play, got to see him pitch two good innings. Looked really good out there. And then home, and I said, let's watch a movie. And that's when, of course, Carla said, I'm going to bed. And
did you say it like Scooter from Mobile like that?
Let's go see a movie or something. we're scrolling around, and it made me realize just how hard it is to find something that's non-crap. We went by Bullet Train, the Brad Pitt movie Bullet Train, and Elizabeth said, oh my God, we've watched that a bunch. We loved it. I said, would you watch it again? Because I haven't watched it. And we turned on Bullet Train, and within an hour of Bullet Train, I said, I'm going to bed.
Why, were you not in the right mood for it? It's not a bad movie.
I don't think I'd ever be in the it's your kind of like Knives Out type of film, a little more action.
Yeah.
It's what I like to call an actor's piece.
Yeah.
Right? Where everybody's silly. Yeah. We're killing people, but we're silly doing it.
And it's got 100 stars in it.
It's
Well, I can save you some more time. Okay. And I'm going to bet that Josh watched this last night because it's brand new. Did you watch The Family Plan 2 with Marky Mark?
No, because I haven't watched The Family Plan 1
You've got 4 hours of genuine entertainment in store for you.
Is it really decent?
I've had it with Mark Wahlberg.
The first Family Plan was okay. The second one, virtually unwatchable. But I was invested in it because I'd seen the first one. And I really found myself angry by the time I got to the third act of it, saying, why am I watching this?
Is it comedy?
It has comedy in it. And you know what? Mark Wahlberg is funny in it. It's just not a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I might get to it.
I might get to it this week because I am
avoiding... Hi, Bernadette, new member. Thank you. Glad to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
The Christmas movies. Because right now there's a big push on the Christmas Hallmark stuff.
Yeah, there's a new one, Champagne Wish. I think that's a new one that they're pushing on Netflix. Let's watch that over the holidays.
So there's a great one that I recommend, Terrifier 2.
Is that a Christmas movie?
Yeah, well, he's in a Santa suit.
Oh, then you go. There you go. Holidays. You know what they're called, don't you? They're called holidays.
I plan with a little downtime watching a Terrifier. I'd like to. I like that. He's really scary, you know.
That's a great family movie.
Isn't that, you got that on the poster, didn't you?
Yeah. But I didn't, you know, I was exhausted too. Long day yesterday. So
your state of mind means the most when you watch it. I hated Forgetting Sarah Marshall the first time I watched it. Just couldn't make myself laugh at it. Then I watched it again 2 months later and I loved it. But I just think it's a mental thing.
Noted perv Russell Brand is in it. That's still a pretty funny movie. And I think it's one of the best, maybe still the best thing Steven Seagal ever did, right?
Jason Seagal.
Yeah. Steven Seagal. Can you imagine Steven Seagal is the lead in Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
I'd watch that.
But I think Jason Seagal is really good in the Apple TV show.
Mark Wahlberg is so good in Boogie Nights. Too bad he sucks as a human being. Joseph, I'm inclined to agree with you.
Yeah.
I thought he's known for being like a really good guy.
I think he's known for, having a bit of a track record, obviously, a track record that, put somebody's eye out. That's all. I believe people should be forgiven for their transgressions, but,
Don't forgive Russell Brand for Arthur. That's not forgivable.
Arthur 2?
Arthur. He did a remake of Arthur that was horrible.
Horrible. I don't care. I don't care for that. So we haven't really recommended anything at all.
I even
can't recommend Landman. That's how bad I am. Recommend Landman.
I thought Landman season 2 was kicking off great.
I loved it.
I thought it was a bowl of okay. I thought it was, and I've only seen the first episode, and I'm not ready. I hope it hasn't jumped the shark, but I think there's potential that it has jumped the shark.
No, some good episode 2, some good mother-daughter stuff, and some good father-son stuff.
And that's not dirty stuff. It's just scenes.
The scene in the admissions office in episode 1 is priceless. I will say that.
Oh, no, I had a question about that. The daughter, who was such a great figure in last season of Landman, are they making her stupider this year?
No, she was stupid last year.
She's really outwardly stupid.
I think what they're doing
stupid.
Is they're
giving the kids more time.
They're focusing on her a little bit more, which means they're doubling down on that.
Even if you just watched episode 1, and I think I said this to you yesterday when mics were off, I said, when you watch it, it looks like they have a script, but then Billy Bob Thornton just comes in and he's himself. He's so natural, and his take on everything is so real to me.
I don't want to totally disagree with you, but I believe the opposite might be true on that. I think the writing, Taylor Sheridan writes for him, because I think Billy Bob Thornton may be the closest character to Taylor Sheridan that we've had. I really believe that.
Taylor would want you to think.
You think
Yeah, I think Taylor Sheridan is more like Joan Crawford.
You think Taylor Sheridan is... now, when you go and you reference one of the... What do you mean by that?
I'm sure he is a very excellent writer who might be a bit of a dandy because he's gotten so much TV on. And if he can write like that...
See, you're close, but I can't... Dandy would not be... I think he is...
Do you think he's as tough?
A noted megalomaniac. Okay, that's what I think he is.
But do you think he's near as tough as the Billy Bob Thornton character in Landman?
I think he's nearly as difficult. His track record would prove that. I think that kind of brilliance too, and I think he is a brilliant screenwriter. Yeah. I really do. I think his dialogue is some of the best, and I put his dialogue up with like Aaron Sorkin and things like that. But I read between the lines of all the negative press that he gets that I think he must be really a noted pain in the ass, and he clashes with a lot of his co-stars. But he's writing for Billy Bob Thornton because I think he writes perfectly for Billy Bob. But I also think that unfortunately these television series, when they get into it and they get success, all of a sudden it seems like everybody has to get their pound of flesh. Not the right expression. Everybody has to get their time, their screen time.
That's the problem with the morning show this season.
Ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
There's so many plates. There's so many plates in the air on that you can't, because the success and now the characters that come back, everybody wants to get their moment in the sun. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
If you want a show recommendation.
I do, badly.
On Apple TV, give Pluribus a try.
Robert started watching that.
It's pretty good. It's odd.
Hold on a second. Why do you have that expression on your face when you say Robert started watching?
Because
there was a little bit of disdain.
No, I'm waiting to hear what Josh says, because Robert, not a big fan.
Okay.
Even though it's got the lady from Breaking Bad in it, right?
Well, the Better Call Saul.
Forgive me. Okay. Yeah, I get them confused in my head sometimes.
She's in it and she's the star, and it's a virus takes over the entire world and turns everyone into like a hive mind besides her.
What's a hive mind?
Because like bees, they all have one thing. They
talk one mind. Right. So you talk to one person and they know everything. And they talk, and no matter who you're talking to the same person.
So it's sci-fi kind of.
It's sci-fi. I think it might be they set it up like it's aliens or something, but I think it's more AI-ish.
Ah, okay.
I think it's pretty good. I think there's like 4 episodes out.
Yeah, it's a time of year where we all gather around and I think want to sit in front of the magic box and watch something. And
also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that tomorrow the Disney Plus debuts the new remaster of the Beatles anthology with a brand new episode, but all the audio has been remastered by Giles Martin.
What, you mean the record?
No. The original documentary that aired on ABC 30 years ago. There is a long, long documentary, probably like 6 or 7.
So you're recommending that to Beatles fans out
100%,
there?
100%, yeah. Okay. It's going to be fun, especially the 9th episode that is brand new. They've got all the stuff from the work they did after John passed. So I'm excited about that.
Josh has already gone up and had one Thanksgiving, right? Up at where you got sick.
That is my Thanksgiving.
That is where you got sick.
That is your Thanksgiving. Well, You've already had it.
Thanksgiving Day, Kelly and I will be alone.
Okay.
So I think it'll be Thanksgiving at the Cracker Barrel.
Okay.
For the two of us.
So I like it when you call it the Crackle Barrel, and I think that would be a very good name to rename it
as opposed. Yes. At the Crackle Barrel.
The Crackle Barrel. That's actually what I had an ill-fated comedy club in the 1980s called the Cackle Barrel.
I remember that.
Do you remember the Cackle Barrel?
Yeah, you had the fat doctor there.
Yeah, I had Tubby Boots.
Was it all fat comedians?
It was Tubby Boots who came in. John Panette. We almost got John Panette. And I'm trying to think of comedian that
oh,
we were.
Oh, Enrique.
Enrique
Iglesias.
I don't know. I don't think it's Enrique Iglesias.
I remember who I saw. I saw Max Alexander at your club.
It was the Cackle Barrel, and what it was, of course, was the logo we had. We got the rights to a rubber chicken, the rubber chicken.
The original rubber chicken.
The rubber chicken, and it's a fist with the fist around the chicken's neck, and the chicken laughing hysterically. Saturday night at the Cackle Barrel, please join Mickey Coachella and Rob Mayer, who will be opening for, it was really, and I think it could have done better. I just had trouble matching with my food sales with the alcohol sales.
What was the disparity?
You have to sell a certain amount of food if you're, you know, if you're serving booze.
And you should have sold the food to the talent.
Yeah, I, you know, I just couldn't get a kitchen together, and so it was popcorn and pretzels and all the whiskey you could drink at the Cackle Barrel. It was. Great.
Is that why Louis Anderson canceled?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Louis Anderson canceled. He was about, and that was going to be our biggest weekend when just about the time we ran out of money.
Yeah,
and he required a $500 deposit for his two shows, and you know, just couldn't make it on time.
I understand.
Unfortunately, it was
he was promoting when he was on that diving show when he was at the Cracker Barrel. And remember, it looked like every time he did a dive, it looked like the mob was disposing of a corpse.
And you remember I turned down that guy you did the HBO show with, Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes.
I said, sorry. And I was a dick in those days. And I said, not fat enough.
Yeah.
And, you know,
although
we only
getting closer.
Fat. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't do it. He was too long and lean to be on the stage. Which by the way, I think I got ripped off by the stage construction when I had them reinforce it because we were going to have comedians that were over 300 pounds.
Yeah, and that was the angle. That was the angle. And you were bought out by Magoobies, weren't you?
Magoobies Joke House took over, and they're still, to the best of my knowledge, they're still thriving.
Yeah, well, I get a text from them every week, and they're booking every comedian. Comedian, fat,
we had,
skinny.
When we opened, our opening weekend, we had tons of people. They weren't all comedians, but we actually had a novelty appearance by the twins on the mini bikes that were both 85 at the time. They weren't as fat as they had been, but you know that famous picture.
They didn't still have the mini bikes.
Josh, if you can look up twins, fat twins on mini bike.
Very familiar.
I think our audience deserves to see that picture because we had them. They were really, really talented guys.
I was excited to meet them. They were so friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And and of course the late Lulu. Lulu Roman. She did an appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a budget of about $5,500, and I like to think
that, the whole. Mm-hmm. The one I'm thinking of, they have cowboy hats.
They have, well, that's the one. There's the one with the cowboy hats where they're driving away.
Yes.
Those might not be. I think they might be the same twins.
I think
it is the same twin.
It is the same twin. There's one on the mini bikes where they try scratching your balls with that little overhang. There you go.
There they are. Mike, it's funny you should bring that up. The reason they bought the mini bikes was to scratch their balls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what they needed. So $5,500 was for the whole organization?
Whole thing. Got everybody on a great deal. Spent the entire afternoon getting rid of the pizza boxes, but it was really something that was special.
Is Towson a good place to have a comedy club?
It wasn't quite Towson. I don't remember what the town was. It was just
it
outside
was Towson
of Towson.
Jason.
I think it was
Parkville.
I think it was Parkville. Yeah.
Josh, you went to the club?
Which is essentially Towson Park. It didn't work out that well. But the password, Greg, is FUPA. Yeah.
You know what caused those twins to get so large?
What?
What's that?
They blame measles.
Yeah.
They say they got measles at the age of five, and it caused it.
How many measles did they eat?
They tried to, take care of their measles, but they were so sweet.
Yeah.
Even in their, even being older, they were
and
very nice guys.
I like
nice
that
guys.
You booked them because back then your club, the Crackle Barrel, was anti-vax, and you loved the fact that they had measles.
No, stop it. Now you're being silly. There was no discussions about vaccines during those days.
Well,
as a matter of fact, Lulu Roman had, at least she claimed that she had lived through a polio scare.
I remember, because she was really overweight before that.
So I forgot the last people, because the last guy I got, Rob, we had the twins on the mini bikes, Lulu Roman, and then who was that last fat person? I don't remember the person
we
got.
I know you had, with Lulu, Gaylord Sartain came, and he was also
from
here. And
that's the guy, and why don't I remember him?
Gaylord
Sartain. What would he have played? What would he have played?
Well, he'd get up and he would do his corny jokes and the washboard, and then as a closing, he ate cream cheese.
It was fantastic. Now, being serious for
sunnier
a moment
days,
here.
Sunnier days, Mike. Sunnier days.
I really did. Josh, this is the truth. I think I may have mentioned it since you've been with us. Mm-hmm. I actually did frequent a nightclub in Glen Burnie, and it was a place called the Desert Lounge, and it was in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And I actually went there. I don't think
that
in
was
a,
before Glen Burnie was happening.
I think I actually went there not in a professional capacity, but maybe it was when I was a baby DJ and a baby program director, and I went out there, and on the bill, I think Tubby Boots and Tiny Tim. Yes. I know I saw both of them there.
Yeah, they were on the same bill because I remember you mentioning it. Yeah.
If you can go to YouTube, there is Tubby Boots, and Tubby Boots has a clip on YouTube. I don't know if we've ever played it on this show.
We've had a picture, but never a clip.
Tubby Boots is down in Ocean City.
And
what is the venue where they used to do like Elvis shows and comedy shows? No, it was an Elvis impersonator show.
I remember the show, but when I saw
it was like a hotel resort type place where they would bring in
they had the rooftop stage,
right?
Big-ish acts,
but they would have that.
I can't tell you the name, but I have seen Elvis there.
Not the real Elvis.
No, Michael Hoover.
But you don't remember the place?
I can't remember the place. It was the roof.
You've been in there, right?
Yeah, it was the roof of a hotel. Not the roof, but the top floor. And they converted it like into a nightclub where you got
and
dinner
Ocean
and
Ocean City
show.
Would be Tubby Boots type of at the end of his career.
Perfect, yeah. And
where
maybe
he would
Ocean,
perform.
Maybe Ocean City in the offseason.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard me tell this story, this is a true story. Mm-hmm. His claim to fame, the man, Tubby Boots, would actually lift his shirt up and squeeze his breasts together to make them look like they were females' breasts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As a matter
closer.
Of fact, I'm not sure.
400 pounds of sex-rated comedy, Mr. Tubby Boots.
You got it, Josh. Good job.
Welcome.
He'll mention the venue.
Before we start, how many of you nice people have never seen me perform live at a nightclub? Have you seen Ray's? We have a few virgins here, eh? Well, first of all, so that we don't get too shocked, I feel this way. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, you came to see me. I did not go looking for you. This is not a sewer. You don't fall in here accidentally. You must come to Gunnings to search me out.
Gunnings.
How do you like the outfit? Ain't this something?
It's so gross, isn't it?
The whole thing.
This may not mean anything to you, but somewhere tonight in South Baltimore, there's a Puerto Rican looking for the seat covers of a 1959
Chevy. There we go.
Chevy.
Okay, that's it. That's Tubby Boots right there.
His stuff really does transcend
good
time.
Good pull, Josh. That's the one I said. You did not come to see you.
I didn't realize.
I did not come to see you. You came to see me.
And all these years, you never told me he was a Harvey Fierstein-y sort of Jiminy Glick type guy.
Oh, he was. And he was like the New York kind of thing. And enormously fat. That's it.
did he really open or did
the show, didn't it?
No. Did he open or did Tiny Tim open?
I think maybe they were separate. I really do.
Okay, I thought it was together.
Tiny Tim's act. Uh-huh. And this is a true story. Tiny Tim's nightclub act that I saw was a nonstop medley where he got up and he was playing his ukulele. Yeah. And it's like, you know, won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home? And it just went on and on to the point where it starts getting funny because that's all it is.
Yeah.
It's just a medley of different song. And I went backstage and was hanging out and it was weird.
I met Tim we didn't have a green room for a while at WJFK.
Yeah, he appeared on the show at one point.
So
I
when
remember that.
Guests would come in, Josh, we'd just stick them in the lobby. And I'm talking about the lobby that basically faced the street. So Tiny Tim is sitting there in some sort of patchwork suit, and he's very polite and everything.
It's a showbiz suit, right?
Yeah.
It's what he would wear when he was on stage.
And I went up to him. I said, Mr. Tim, because he called me Mr. Rob.
Right.
I said, is there anything I can get you? And he said, if it wouldn't be too much trouble, Mr. Rob, I'd love to get a six-pack of Corona beer.
Yeah. He wanted beer. He wanted a six-pack of beer.
And he downed like three of them before he did his appearance.
And didn't he want hand lotion, too? I am not exaggerating.
We were not able to provide it. It was a Paquin's hand cream.
Paquin's hand cream.
That he has. Do you have any of that?
And there's the ukulele. Very disturbing.
But because of all of his body creaming and lotions and oils, he smelled good.
Fine. I don't remember
that.
He
did. He smelled a little like a
that
spa.
That might just creep me out a little bit more.
I don't think he's with us anymore. Sometimes I'll tell you the best smelling guest we ever had, and I think Mike will agree with this if he remembers, is Rhoda when we had Valerie Harper on. She smelled fantastic.
Yeah, and a very nice lady, too.
Wonderful lady, yeah.
Welcome to the show that thinks about all the celebrities that they interviewed that are now dead.
Tiny Tim passed away in 1996.
Right.
Had a heart attack on stage.
Yeah, wow, yeah. That's almost 30 years ago.
It's what I call dying with your boots on. That's
the
tubby boots on. The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial genius, monetary magician. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. You see, my friends, Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. This holiday season, what does comfort look like to you? For me, it's slowing down, finding calm amid the chaos, and making home a place where everyone can truly relax. That's where Avocado Green Mattress comes in. Avocado helps you create your own natural oasis, a calm, cozy space filled with certified organic comfort. Their handcrafted mattresses are designed for deeper, more restorative sleep, and their breathable pillows and soft organic bedding bring that same luxury to every part of your home. Hosting family this year, Avocado's sustainable furniture, like their beautifully made city bed frame, helps you create a warm, inviting space where everyone sleeps well and feels cared for. Everything Avocado makes is thoughtfully crafted with the planet in mind, certified organic, non-toxic, and built to last, so you can feel good about the comfort you bring into your home, because Avocado believes in being better for you and better for the planet. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better. We'll be continue with the show, ladies and gentlemen, in this trip down memory lane. But first, I would like to tell you about a fine sponsor of the Mike O'Mara Show. It's called Uncommon Goods.
Please.
And, we're all looking for something unique and wonderful to get for the holidays. It's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun. Uncommon Goods has thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, and they have something for everyone. Now, the thing that's cool about Uncommon Goods is that if you do have people, it's like, I don't know what to get for this person.
Yeah.
The fun of Uncommon Goods is going to their website and actually taking as much time as you need, because they have so many different cool things.
I was looking at the website and thinking that if this was 20 years ago, you'd spend 2 days in 3 malls trying to find this kind of selection of stuff that is unique and a great gift. You can get everything done at this website. It's
moms
cool.
And dads, kids, teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists. It's the part I like. I haven't gotten back to their website to get my mixology stuff. I was too busy getting my arm caddy, my armchair caddy that I have, along with my, what's that thing that you call it? What do you call the desk table?
It's a lap desk.
A lap desk
for the infirm.
They got stuff for gardeners too. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. And every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice.
Cool.
They've donated more than $3 million to date. We appreciate them doing that. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free, joyful, thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TMOS. That's uncommongoods.com/TMOS for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
This is exciting, Josh, because today is Thanksgiving Tidbits. Now, these are little news items that Mike collects that you'll be able to share around the Thanksgiving table.
He's been here for a few shows, Rob. He kind of knows the drill.
He was away yesterday.
Yeah, I know, but, you know.
Totally forgot how the show works.
Many people wouldn't complain about anything on a Thanksgiving table. That would be very rude, I would think, if you weren't making the meal. They just conveniently run out of room on their plate for anything they dislike. But this made it, and I'm not really, I'm not fond of gathering Thanksgiving holiday stories for the news because I think it's trite and I think a lot of people do it. However, this one, because I agree with it, jumped off the page. A new survey asked people which items they'd ban from Thanksgiving, and the big winner, 40%, ladies and gentlemen, would ban green bean casserole.
It's my favorite.
Oh my God. I love it. Stand it. I hate it.
Last year, I actually researched, I won't say the name of the gentleman who put this recipe together, but he really deconstructed it where you make your own cream of mushroom soup.
I don't care.
Fresh string beans, and then you fry your own onions for the top. And it is a game changer. It's so good.
You've made it?
Yes.
Will you make it this year?
Not for Thanksgiving.
Is it just you and the kids?
No, it's me and my mom and Carrie and Robert. Julia is staying in Richmond. Okay. So it's just four of us.
Oh, that's a bummer. Why is she staying down there?
That work stuff and all that.
Yeah, that's just like one of my kids. They get older.
You know what? I missed a couple Thanksgivings due to work. It happens. It's not fun.
It does.
But this, we're not doing that. We've eliminated a couple things because there's just four of us. Sad to report, even though you can find the recipe in the O'Mara Family Cookbook, no creamed onions this year.
Really?
Really.
Oh, what a shame. 35% don't like cranberry sauce. That was next in line.
Oh, I love it.
Hard to believe.
No, you need that.
It goes with the stuffing.
Yeah, and I make mine homemade, so it's a good
16%. Do you use the zest of an orange?
I do.
Yes.
I go further than that. I use the juice of an orange in there. Awesome. My cranberry sauce has cranberries, apples, and orange juice in it.
Wow. Does it have any, like, orange peel in it? Just diced up?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Let's say 16%. This is another one I don't like. Sweet potatoes or yams. Goodbye. Nope. You don't need to be on the plate as far as I'm concerned. Well, I cannot stand them.
Two ways. If you were, I've seen them mostly in two presentations. Would you prefer, if you had to, with like a crumbly cookie, like a pecan topping on top baked, or the traditional Kraft baby marshmallows on top?
Neither. I don't care either? No, I don't like them.
The problem is the sweet potatoes. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you put on top.
And I think that one of the great abominations of the world are sweet potato fries.
Oh, I hate them. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, so bad.
It's not fair. They just cheated us.
Yeah.
They didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car. Let's see. Sweet potatoes. It's probably a good idea not to mess with expectations by wildly changing the lineup from previous gatherings without a heads up. Hey, how about my southern boy kid, though, this morning? He slept in our bedroom because we are space challenged. This is a bedroom that I broadcast from here. And he was requesting a honey-baked ham for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, that's very Southern. We're not going to have that many people where you put a ham and a turkey out there. Will you be serving a ham?
We will not have a ham. But I think that a wonderful ham will sometimes complement other Thanksgiving foods.
I don't think you should put a pig in the turkey pen.
I don't know.
That's the way I look at it.
I had a Southern Thanksgiving meal, and there was no ham.
At the plantation?
At the plantation.
You had a, and no ham there. Was it just turkey? Was there any other meat product?
It was just turkey.
And they also make a side of fried cotton.
Thank you very much.
There was so much cotton.
Tara Reid was spotted. Do you remember that name, Tara Reid? What is she famous for? I don't even remember what she was famous for.
She was in Lebowski. And also, I believe the
first... She was in the Big Lebowski?
Yeah, she was Mr. Lebowski's wife. No, she was not.
Nope, absolutely not.
She's known for American Pie, but she was in the Big Lebowski.
There's no way she was in the Big... You mean the sexy lady that's tanning outside?
That's her.
There is no way that is Tara Reid.
It is, but Mike also
Help me out here. That is not Tara Reid. No way. Absolutely no way she was in that.
But Josh is right. Her big break was American Pie.
Really? I really want to find out if she was in that. But that's neither here nor there.
This is her in the Big Lebowski.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I am so wrong. I eat crow. Wow, can I see that again?
I hate birds.
Yeah. She really looked, she probably looked her best in that movie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She still looks a little rough.
I don't know. Yeah. I think she looks best now.
Here's the story. TMZ got video of Tara in the hotel lobby shortly after midnight on Sunday morning, and she was gone. She was unable to stand. Before you play the video, Rob, yeah, let me just... Yeah. She was unable to stand and barely coherent. At first, several people tried to get her into a wheelchair, but unfortunately, she slid off of. This is a long video. Somebody got the whole thing. She claimed that she was drugged, and when you see the video... I'm not ready to say that might not be true.
What I have is actually her explaining it on
you don't
TMZ.
Have the...
I think it's included, but this is her talking about the actual event. Go ahead.
Through what happened.
So I got to the hotel, I checked in, and then I went downstairs for to have a drink and have a cigarette.
She's in rough shape.
And I got my drink.
Her nose looks crooked.
I left down the bar, and I went outside, smoked a cigarette, and there was a bunch of YouTubers there. In the lobby, like everywhere, and they're videotaping stuff.
All right. You know. Get the other video of her when the raw video of when she was. TMZ has the entire clip of her coming out, and they're trying to support her, and then they put her in a wheelchair, and then she's finally ushered out.
She is.
We don't have it.
I think Josh is working on her
I'm
now.
Looking for it.
So when Josh is looking for that, she claims she was drugged. She sounds rough as hell.
Yeah.
Tara's rep issued a statement yesterday saying she has filed a police report and added that Tara, quote, urges everyone to be careful, watch your drinks, and never leave them unattended, as this can happen to anyone. By the way, Tara, I mean, smoking still? Come on.
I know.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. I really
drinking
kind of
still the thing that she says in the interview with TMZ that when she went out to smoke, which again troubles me greatly, but when she comes back in, she said her drink was still on the bar, but someone had put a napkin on top of it. I mean, how much do you need to telegraph to someone the drink?
Well, I don't know. All right, here we go. Here she is. This is her being held up by a guy. They're bringing the wheelchair over. There she is.
Shut the.
We're going to get whacked for playing this video, Josh, do you think,
no,
or what?
Fine.
I don't think so.
Look at her.
She is without
Hey,
anything.
Dude, don't pull her hood to get her in the chair, you moron. That bothered me when that guy did that.
Give her a second.
You
touch me again, we're
going to
have a problem.
I mean, it doesn't look drunk. It looks
like she's drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, can people get that way with alcohol? Yes, but
yeah.
Now also, unfortunately, we have to be the possibility of she took her own drugs. She certainly looks like she might be taking drugs in that video you play, Rob.
Yeah, she has a history with addiction.
Now, the worst one is, we're going to see it in a second here, where she has slid out of the wheelchair.
Oh, no.
No, that's not even it. That's not even it. But Tara. It's like, all right, so, I mean, what do you think when you're looking at this? What is your opinion? You think she was drugged? I think she was drugged. Was it by their hits?
Oh, no.
Yeah. How flattering.
Mike, that looks like us at the International Jet Port when we were flying to Iceland.
Josh, what do you think about that?
If not drugged, then it's medications mixing wrong with alcohol.
Yeah.
No, I think she was drunk. And the reason I say it is,
she's 50 years old. Somebody said on comments. And finally, there she goes. All right, that's enough of that. Thank you very much, Josh. Good job.
With her past, she would manage her medicine better if she took it. I think she was drugged, especially when if what she says is true about having a napkin on top of her drink.
Yeah.
Someone
will they be able to prove it? That's the question. There's going to be a new Exorcist movie, and they got a biggie. Scarlett Johansson is going to be starring in it.
Oh, my God. They must have paid her so much money.
It won't be a remake or a sequel, but it will exist in the Exorcist universe, whatever that means. They're also calling it a fresh, bold take on the franchise. Critics and audiences were lukewarm on 2023's Exorcist Believer. Most of them just completely suck. When they say something like they're going to do a different look and a different, I mean, it could be something that might be interesting. I'd certainly give it a try.
I don't know. You look at the original, and I know Josh will never watch this movie.
Because it's got demons in it.
I will. Yeah. I will one day. I just haven't yet.
So scary.
The original movie is so perfect in its construction. It really doesn't leave open for sequel or continuation. Yeah. I don't want to see anything in the universe.
I get it. But if they use the name Rob and they make a totally different movie, I'd be cool with that. So who knows? We'll have to wait
and
see.
Charlotte Johansson, is she the priest?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It burns.
There we go.
Oh, it burns.
Thank you.
Many decades of playing that sound. Post Malone is sharing his gratitude for Nashville's first responders this week with a free Thanksgiving meal at his bar, Posties. Here's a quote. To the ladies,
I didn't know it was called Posties.
Posties. To the ladies, he says this, to the ladies and gentlemen who keep Nashville safe each day, we'd love to thank you for your service. On-duty uniform first responders are invited to please join us Wednesday through Friday to enjoy a complimentary meal. That's sweet. You can do that while they're on their shift. I think that's fantastic. In case you didn't know, Posty will be performing in the halftime show at the Cowboys-Chiefs game on Thanksgiving. That's going to be a fun game to watch.
I actually have a tape of some of Nashville's first responders. These ladies are not actually government employees, but they're very reliable.
Okay.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
It's a different type of first responder, I believe.
Yeah, but she does respond right away.
There you go. There she is.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard what you said.
Hey, you want a party, baby?
A bus driver in North Texas now has a Guinness World Record. Raymond Hager, one of the Hagers.
You know the Hager brothers are dead.
Yeah, I know they are. Raymond Hager is the oldest bus driver in the world.
Where?
That is in North Texas.
I mean, in the world.
In the world. He's 95 and still going strong. He told a reporter he's loved to drive ever since he drove his first car at age 14. He sees his doctor once a month to make sure that he's up to it. I think that's just fantastic.
He drives a bus for, it's called the school, for kids whose parents don't care very much.
Ride at your own risk.
Or we're close to that situation where he's in the bus. He thinks he's driving it.
You got another stop, Raymond.
Thank you. Okay.
A 15-year-old, another really cool story. A 15-year-old kid near Buffalo. His name, Anthony Killinger. Yeah. And he did CPR, and he saved his stepdad's life. His mom was there but didn't know what to do. She says Anthony looked at her and said, quote, "I got this." He took a class at school, and he knew how to do it. He kept it up for 8 minutes until paramedics arrived, and he saved his father by doing CPR at the age of 15. I love stories like
That's awesome. I hate the mother.
Yeah, because you think the mother's like, hey!
Yeah, exactly.
Like arms flailing, that's what you picture, isn't
it? Or maybe, I don't know what to do.
Like terrorism situation. And of course, Rob, I wouldn't give you a good story without a little balance.
Thank you.
So here we go. Cops in North Carolina responded to a domestic dispute on Friday after a guy threatened to light a woman on fire when she wouldn't go grab him a beer.
Oh, dear.
It happened in Silva, North Carolina, about 40 miles west of Asheville. Patrick Tyson was doing some day drinking, and by day drinking, we mean morning drinking. It happened at 7 a.m.
That okay. might be late night
drinking.
Might
be drinking. The night before. Yeah. It's not clear if the woman was his girlfriend or what, but she told cops he threatened to light her on fire. Then he actually tried to do it. He grabbed a bottle of rubbing alcohol, which apparently they had handy,
sure.
And poured it on the couch she was on and lit it. It burned the couch. Don't we have somebody that's complaining about burning?
We do, as a matter of fact.
It burned the couch and set her shirt on fire, and she was not happy about it.
Right.
She screamed very loudly when the shirt was lit on fire.
I wish
it was
it
5 seconds ago.
I know, and, but it goes away sometimes,
it was just the shirt was lit on fire, 1/1000. Forget it. Luckily, she wasn't seriously hurt. Cops said the shirt burned off her body. There's another reference to the fact that she was burning for a brief period of time when the alcohol, rubbing alcohol, was lit on the shirt,
yeah.
And it just burned off her body, and
not yet.
But she did not sustain physical injuries. The you can stop now.
Yeah, you said that before, and then you started to set it up again.
The fire department saved the house, but it's got smoke damage, and they said the carpet was also burned. Patrick is facing multiple charges, including first-degree arson and felony assault with a deadly weapon. He will plead not guilty and invoke the "it's 5 o'clock somewhere" defense. If you're having a beer at 7 a.m., some might say you set your house on fire a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Win-win. Win-win. There you go. All the way. That was the girlfriend. Anyway, we'll take a break, and we will come back with more. There's so much that we have to get to. I hope we get to something. But, Rob, do you think we can do the movie stars boning? That might be a lot of
Absolutely.
Fun.
Absolutely. I like that.
Let's do that. But first, I do want to talk to you about something. Do you know what I'd want to talk to you about? Naked Wines. And this is the time of year we really, really want you to take advantage. Getting ready for the holidays, it's a hassle. Selecting great wine to make you merry and bright shouldn't be. Naked Wines, what a perfect time of year it is for it. They're the sponsor of today's show, Graham, and they're pouring out a deal you can't ignore. They connect you directly to the world's best independent winemakers, so you get world-class wine delivered right to your door for up to 60% off store prices. No middlemen, no nonsense, just incredible wine. Use the code TMOS at nakedwines.com. You get $100 off your first order. It's fantastic. That's 6 bottles for just $39.99. I drink it 7 a.m. every morning.
No. You drink it at the appropriate times, but have you ever gotten a bad bottle of wine?
Never have. I love it. Every bottle is better than the last. Naked Wines, because life's too short for bad wine. So let's all head to nakedwines.com/TMOS, click enter voucher, and put in TMOS for both the code and the password to get $100 off your first order. That's 6 bottles for only $39.99 with shipping included. $100 off your first 6 bottles at nakedwines.com/TMOS, and use the code and password TMOS for 6 bottles of wine for $39.99. Yeah, I love stories about movie stars and whether they had an on-screen real-life romance because the chemistry was so good.
Yeah, none of these are confirmed as of now, but they are all rumored, and all of them, I think, are what you say, are fueled by their on-screen chemistry.
Do you want to do your unboxing before you do your celebrities boning? Do you want to do that?
I would like to do that, because
kill two birds. I'd really like to get that done before we get out of here.
Now, this is something I've never bought before.
Okay.
Because I think it's a new thing. Now, before I open it, I want you to see this. And people of a certain age will recognize it. It's a 45 RPM record for the Rolling Stones song Satisfaction. A single, and you know what they look like. You know, they're little 7-inch pieces of plastic like that, and that's a record, right?
Yeah.
7.5 inches.
Well, they go in your jukebox.
They do go in my jukebox.
Right.
I got this from Target, and I'd never seen this before. And when I open it, this is not a CD. This is a miniature version of Satisfaction. That's a record. You can play this on a phonograph. Now, I've not opened it yet. because I'm excited to see what it is.
So it's a mini piece of vinyl?
Yeah. Is that
cool? Can you play that in your jukebox?
I can't play it in my jukebox, but I can play it on one of my six other record players.
Do you have the close and play one?
I have one standing by, yeah, but I do want to see this before we play it.
All right. This is exciting. Thank you, Reese, again.
Wait a second.
Every day, you incredibly generous man, you. That's wonderful. We are excited to see you on the cruise as well, Reese. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Now, apparently, this is a Target exclusive, and they kept delaying it, and it finally got here.
So is it as exciting as Christmas lights?
It might be a tie.
How do they fit it on that little album?
I don't know. Is it a single? It is a single. It is on one side, it's Satisfaction, and on the other side, the Under Assistant West Coast Promo Man, just like the Real 45.
What's the second thing you mentioned?
The Under Assistant West Coast Promo Man is the flip side to Satisfaction. But
no one knows.
That's right. Here is my small vertical record player.
You can play it in that?
I think so.
And Josh, while he's doing that, can you see if you can find the lights that I sent
you? Oh, I've got them.
Oh, you've got them? Okay. While he's getting that ready, we can take a look at the. This is what I ordered for from China for a Christmas. There it is.
So they're little solar powered bush lights.
They look so cheap.
Hold it. Are they? But the bushes are included?
Well, I hope so.
So you
what do you think? They're just going to give me a stick?
Well, I mean, I was wondering if perhaps you put the lights in the bush yourself, but I mean.
No. The lights are on little strings, so you stick the pole in the ground, and it makes this little bush.
And it might really look heinous, too. That's why they put it in front of a mansion.
I think it's fantastic.
We'll see what happens.
I bet Josh's neighbors who do the skeletons will have those.
Timu. Right.
Tightening the record
player.
All
right, here we go.
All right.
Now let's start it up. I'm turning it on. This is really not the best high fidelity.
That's okay. Just see if it works.
Okay, I got to get this sucker spinning.
All right.
Hold on. I think if I hit that
Can I ask you a question while you're doing this?
Yeah.
If you can talk and don't have to look at me, just to go on with your thing. The purpose of the vertical record player.
Novelty, really, but also doesn't take up much space. The sound quality is horrible. It has no out.
Ooh.
Oh, you just scratched up a new album.
That is terrible fidelity, but...
I told you.
There it is. One of the great rock and roll songs of all time.
That is so cool.
Glad you're excited about it. That's wonderful. I'm glad you have hours of fun with that. And how much did that set you back?
One song.
One song.
$1,600.
There you go. Now, go ahead, Josh.
I can do show and tell while he puts that away.
Okay. Go ahead.
Because I also got a package in, which is all of our shirts.
Hey!
For the cruise.
The cruise, everybody.
Oh, my God. They're beautiful.
That is the TMOS Love Boat Cruise. Beautiful color for the Bahamas. I love it, love it, love it. I'm excited. We're going to see you guys in a little over a week. We will be on the ship leaving at 5 p.m. on Friday, December 4th, is it, or 5th? I forgot which day.
A week from Friday.
And what's so great is, I mean, this is really, the rubber is really hitting the road. I called Kathy, my dad's wife last night. I said, are you still good to drive us to the port for the ship? She says, oh my God, that already?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that already. We'll be down there on Thursday.
Awesome. You're lucky you get to park there, right? Oh, well, no, you don't have to park. You're going to be flying down.
Yeah, I'll Uber to the hospital, visit my dad. If he's still there, there's a chance he might be out. Mm-hmm. And then Kathy will take us on Friday. I can't wait.
Well, that's a good idea. Maybe I should park at the hospital and we'll just ride with you.
That way it's
free parking at the hospital.
Yep, I'm coming too. We'll all be parking at the hospital. What a great idea. Fantastic.
Passengers.
All right, Rob, the celebrities boning.
Yeah, if you think this happened or not.
Okay.
Okay, this
now,
is...
Now, are there yeses and nos on this list?
No, none of them are confirmed, so it's totally up to us. I think we can vote as to whether or not they're true.
Okay, all right.
Okay, they made a rom-com together. Glenn Powell, who's everywhere now, and Sydney Sweeney. They did a rom-com in 2023. Do you think, it's called Anyone But You. Do you think they had sex?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't know Glenn Powell.
He was in the Top Gun. Top Gun, and he's made some He's made a lot of rom coms.
I don't know the celebrity well enough.
Anyone but you. Isn't that that rom com where she's nude out on the beach?
Probably, yeah.
I think that was the angle with that.
Well, I'll have to check that out.
Then you'll know who Glenn Powell is.
Hey there. Thank you. Do you think they did?
I do. Okay. Right. I think Glenn Powell has gotten very successful very quick, and he'll put it anywhere that takes it.
Fuck God.
They also used to date.
Oh, yeah. then that's a yes.
But they denied it. They denied that they dated.
Okay, so, who's next?
2024, there was a movie called Cash Out with Kristen Davis and John Travolta. Did they bang?
Is Kristen Davis the Sex in the City lady?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
I always found her to be very, very pretty. I think John Travolta, with everything that's said about John Travolta, that perhaps he was a loyal dude. So I don't think so.
No, okay, I agree. I don't think they did either. And I think she's not that kind of person either. I like John Travolta quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'd step outside.
I'm not quite sure why these celebrities are the ones that are coming forward with this. I don't know why.
These are just the rumors, Mike. Okay. Is John Travolta still with Kelly Preston?
No, she's dead. She passed away.
Oh, no. She had breast cancer. I did not know.
Mike, you didn't know that?
I got a lot of stuff in my
Kelly
head.
Kelly Preston, beautiful. So beautiful. One of my favorite actresses. Mm-hmm. And very sad. Very, very sad situation.
Stars of the movie Sweet November and Devil's Advocate. I would pay to see this movie. Charlize Theron and Keanu Reeves.
Man, now there's some, those are the first really, well, Sydney Sweeney, of course, but those are the really like iconic stars. Yeah.
Keanu been with his person forever?
Yeah, and isn't he like a noted Hollywood good guy?
Yeah,
he is. I think consummate professional. That's his reputation. I say nay. I say no. As beautiful as she is, I say no.
I was going to say that's going to be really hard to turn down if it happens.
Did you get creeped out by that, Josh? Did you get creeped out?
Josh isn't listening.
Of course.
I say he did. I think he did.
He's too nice a guy, and I think he's a loyal dude, too. So I think he was honorable.
In 2021, they made a movie called Don't Worry, Darling. And I think this probably is one of the more sexually charged couples here. Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles.
100%.
Yeah, I agree.
Didn't they date, too?
They may have dated.
I think they did.
But they're saying they're not sure about the timeline. Were they boning on set?
Olivia Wilde is noted to be wild.
Really,
in real life. Absolutely. Yeah.
Hold on. You've just changed it. You mean on set, like scenes they're filming?
No. I mean like during the production
of the movie.
Having
an affair while the movie was going on.
Okay.
There's very few that I'm sure of, but I'm sure of this one. Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper on A Star Is Born.
I don't know if I'm sure of that. Have they said no? They've said no, right?
I don't know that they... None of these are confirmed.
When you're talking about Bradley Cooper, a lot of people are talking about what he did to himself with, like, too much Botox or whatever, or whatever
plastic surgery. Well, he's a weird-looking guy to begin with.
But he didn't need to do anything, for God's sake. What's he up with? He looks different than he did, like, 2 years ago. Mm. I say... Even though the chemistry was such that everybody said they were, that's why I don't think they did.
I think they did. And I think that's why the movie has that sort of electric feeling to it. It's a really good
film. What about you, Josh? What do you think?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, let's move on.
All right. On the movie, it was called... This is actually... No, I'm sorry. They were on Watch What Happens Live, and they assumed that this happened on The Hunger Games. Liam Hemsworth and Jennifer Lawrence. They have denied it.
I think these rumors start because they're really good actors or actresses.
That's part of it.
They convince you in the movie.
I have seen women on talk shows react to Liam Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I could see this happening. Yes, I could. I could see this happening. Mm-hmm. Just because he is such a dreamboat.
And I think she kind of does what she wants to do. I think she's
a free spirit.
Yeah, I agree. That's well said. Mm-hmm. This one surprised me. Will Smith and Margot Robbie from the movie Focus. I didn't know they made a movie together.
I don't know. I know that Will Smith, it's been written about with his open relationship with Jada. I think that I don't know much about Margot Robbie, so I think that if the opportunity was there, he would take it. The question is whether she would be so inclined. I'm going to go yes on this one. Yeah,
okay, I think so. I think there's a shot because she was very early in her career then, and it might have been a climbing move.
Okay, all right, very good. Yep, Rob, you think the worst of
no
these
on ones. All of these.
Okay, no on all of them.
I think it's all creepy people.
Got time for a couple more, Rob Spiewak.
Dangerous Liaisons. This one brought me great joy.
Is this Sheen?
Nope.
No.
Michelle Pfeiffer?
I'm sorry, that's the John Malkovich one.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer and John Malkovich boning behind the scenes.
Absolutely not.
Really? Why not?
No, because she's Michelle Pfeiffer and he's John Malkovich.
Don't you find him a bit intriguing?
This is exactly what you sound like. I do the Bill Hader of John Malkovich. I say no. He's too fugly.
All right.
Absolutely.
Passengers was a movie that came out in 2016. Did Jennifer Lawrence, there's that name again, bang Chris Pratt?
No.
Why not?
I think he's kind of a goofy guy, and I think unlike Liam Hemsworth, he's a big strapping dude, but I just don't think I think he's kind of goofy and probably secure in his own relationship.
And he's been married multiple times, so he's been married forever.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. One of my favorites, Linda.
Are you winding this down? How much do we have left here?
There's one more here.
Okay, I didn't know that. You didn't say that.
Okay, Linda Cardellini and Jason Segel.
I'm trying to
from
remember.
The set of Freaks and Geeks.
God, I'm trying to remember Linda Cardellini.
She played. She was sort of the hippie-ish, long-haired, dark-haired girl on Freaks and Geeks. She played Velma in the Scooby-Doo movies. She had a run on ER. She's very good.
This would be the first one I will weigh in with an abstention due to the fact that I don't care.
All right. Do you want to substitute because of the abstention?
Yes, I do.
All right. Jessica Simpson and Johnny Knoxville on the set of...
Yes, yes, and yes. And by the way, Johnny Knoxville as a choice to host the new Fear Factor, brilliant choice. I look forward to watching that reboot.
I think
really
it'll be
do.
Good.
I think
and of
it's
course,
fantastic.
The last one on our list, Mike O'Mara and Kevin James.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, but not the whole way.
Well, it
just
was
a few
rather
favors.
It was one-sided, wasn't it?
It sure was. just grossed myself out. Yeah, we'll take a quick break.
Bring
when
it
we,
out in people.
When we come back, we'll do something because that's what we do on this show.
Yes,
you can count on it, ladies and gentlemen.
Bet on it.
But first, I want to talk about one of our wonderful sponsors of the show. You have all heard about the incredible weight loss people have experienced with peptides. With these prescription medications, people have lost incredible amounts of weight. I personally lost 80 pounds with these medications, and you can lose weight too. Here is the great part. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. And Carla wanted me to share something with all of
you. No, you're not going to take your shirt off, are you?
No, she wanted me to share this with you guys, all right? If you're trying to lose those last stubborn 5 to 20 pounds, there is no BMI requirement. That's to get these meds. It's microdosing, and it's fantastic. From November 24th through December 1st, if you purchase microdosing GLP-1 GIP, I'm reading small text here. From November 24th through December 1st, if you purchase microdosing GLP-1/GIP, you'll get a free month of NAD Plus added to your order. That's a lot of letters there.
But a lot of good, that's a value right there.
This is the exact combo that I have done before. We love it. Microdosing is perfect if you're trying to lose that last 5 to 20. Microdosing helps with steady fat loss, craving control, and beating that holiday eating. And the NAD Plus you get for free, clean energy, better focus, and that overall feel-good boost. I've done that too, folks. I mean it. It
you
works.
Know, Mike, yes. I don't even call it microdosing. I call it Mike-O-dosing because Mike O'Mara loves it.
So treat yourself this holiday season and jump on this Black Friday special before it's gone. Head to dermglowskin.com and get started today with your Mike O dosing.
I love it.
I appreciate that. Yeah. All right, what is the cost-cutting move for Christmas that you wanted to talk about?
Okay, this was a lady that was on a news program.
And Josh, did you want to add anything about the plantation, or have we covered that substantially?
I don't think we've covered it at all.
Okay.
I was going to share about the plantation.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob. No. We're going to put that other one on hold.
Christmas shopping continues into next week. We can discuss it next week.
Very good.
All right, well, I will share. This is the plantation home I went to.
Oh my God, it's like right out of a novel.
With Spanish moss and the whole deal.
I felt like it's a traditional Southern plantation.
It looks like they could shoot movies there. That's how legitimate it looks.
I took some notes. This place is called Hickory Head.
And welcome to Hickory Head. Yeah.
Oh, it was 100% that place. That they're very proud of the tree next to it. Because the girl who lived there would climb out the window and down that tree to go sleep with the Confederate soldiers that would camp out in the front yard.
Wow, like to bang them and stuff?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah, she was what was known as a comfort woman.
It's a 1,300-acre plantation. Used to be a cotton plantation that's now like a rich guy hunting.
How did you come to be there?
Kelly's cousin owns the place.
Really?
And it's his hunting lodge.
Yeah, you know Colonel Stroka, don't you?
Yeah. So while they're, it's one of those places where they keep all the all historic furniture, and everything is set up the way it has always been.
So is it used for like a B&B or a restaurant?
It's used for hunting.
It's a hunting lodge.
It's a hunting lodge, and people come. That friends of his, I guess, come and rent the place for hunting. You can see here in the hallway, you can just grab your gun on the way out.
Oh, this is like your paradise right here, right?
Is it?
I mean, do they have any MAGA hats in the lobby?
They might as well have.
Do they have air conditioning?
Because I can't imagine that house in the middle of Georgia.
It's funny the way your brain works.
Well, if they're keeping it historic, I'm just curious.
No, there was central air. It was very cold inside.
I love it. You see, I'm all in now.
Now, my notes are, it's currently 1,300 acres. It used to be 5,400 acres.
Wow.
When it was a working plantation, it had 67 slaves. The Confederate Army camped there by the gate because this plantation provided most of the food for the Confederate Army during the Civil War.
But it was primarily cotton, but they also grew food, I guess?
Yeah, they grew a bunch of food, and then it transitioned to cotton.
And, of course, Mike chickens.
Right, and it's got a huge, its own personal lake in the back, and its own cemetery if you drive down the road further in the back where, the Confederate soldiers are buried.
Someday, do you hope to be in that cemetery?
I have no desire to be in that. But it was a traditional Southern Thanksgiving. And every time I get with Kelly's family, it's like a different culture. Because in Southern, it's everyone's super polite. Everyone's
straightforward. Let me ask you a question. I think this is making sense to me now. I'm understanding things a little bit now. If I were to sit down at that table,
yes,
and I was to say, how about that Mom Donnie? Winning in New York, pretty good stuff, huh? Would there be a little blowback on me if I wore my politics on my sleeve? Would there be a little tension in the room?
You know what's interesting when I'm with this family?
Okay,
is I never hear any politics.
Okay,
it's never discussed.
That's good. Then it's not a big deal because usually if they are Kool-Aid drinkers, then you would probably hear it all the time. Yeah. I would think
when you're seated at the table for the meal. How many are at the table? How many were served?
Well, there were multiple tables.
Okay.
And this place has its own working chef and staff.
So were there different families having Thanksgiving at the same time?
Well, no, it's all relatives. It was all relatives.
Just a big family.
Just a big family.
How many total people were there at the Thanksgiving?
Probably 25.
Okay.
How would it go if at dinner, maybe after grace, but before the turkey, you started to discuss the war of Northern aggression?
Yeah. Well, I told Kelly afterwards, I felt like an idiot because In all my growing up in Maryland, I never thought, why would the Civil War be in Georgia? Like,
why?
Because I thought all the wars are up there in like Pennsylvania and Virginia.
No, that's the seed of the Confederacy.
I know that's the seed.
Come on.
I didn't know they came. I didn't know we had battles down there.
Don't embarrass your family due to your academic limitations, for Christ's sake. It sounds like it would be pretty cool to experience it.
It was neat.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it was very cool. It was very neat to kind of step into that world.
Did you stay? Did you sleep at the place?
Nope, just spent a few hours there on Sunday.
Could you have, would you be able ever to stay there? Or would you have to be like, have to like make arrangements to go out and shoot a hog the next day or something like
that? Yeah, I'd probably have to arrange to go quail hunting.
What if you asked just to stay?
Greg Klein writes, "Where the hell do you think Sherman marched through?"
That's very true.
I admit I'm an idiot.
One of the bad Union guys. He took care of Atlanta, didn't he, Rob? Huh?
He sure
How about
did.
That? Wow.
Josh, if you didn't want to hunt quail, could you ask to stay in like an outbuilding, like some quarters, or would you have to sleep in the main house?
Well. Yeah,
shut up, Rob.
They do have some staff quarters.
Okay, wow. So staff quarters they are, Mike.
And how was the spread? How was the chow?
It might have been the best turkey I've ever had.
Really?
It was shot that morning.
It was probably very fresh, and it was grilled and seared.
Are you playing Gone with the Wind music?
Do you have better music for the antebellum South?
No, I absolutely don't.
But the spread was different.
Silly.
Yeah. So silly. What was the weirdest side dish? Because, all families have one side dish that's a little, outside the box.
Well, remember, this is all cooked by a chef, so it's not like it's family recipes or anything.
True, but I mean, it's a totally different region.
The weirdest part was no dessert.
Not at all?
How you have Thanksgiving without any pie.
Wow.
Yeah, there was no dessert.
No dessert? Now, could you have ordered it if you wanted to?
No.
Wow.
No, the chef didn't make it. Now, I think the chef might have gotten talking to later that day about it. And
oh, dear.
So
we know how that goes.
Yeah, we know. That's terrible.
Yes.
Hi, I'm glad you weren't around for that. That's terrible.
Sure wish I had made a chocolate pecan pie because this sucks.
It was like a broccoli casserole, sweet potato casserole.
Greg Klein has just given us a $10 super chat for Josh to rent Ken Burns' Civil War.
That's way too long.
Yeah, it's way too long for him. It gets in the way with his other baseball viewing and all that stuff.
I'll watch Ken Burns' baseball.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the meal even without dessert?
A 9.
A 9?
Very good.
Yeah. And any good side dishes as well as the turkey?
The broccoli casserole was very good.
Like a cheese base?
The dressing was horrible.
Why do you suppose the dressing
was dry?
Okay, not enough gravy for it?
I assumed it was just a Southern way to make it. And then I heard other people
not a fan of that.
Well.
When you serve the dressing and it's not a little moist, that's a problem for me. Don't care for that.
Was it from the bird? Did they take it out of the bird, or was it a side?
No, it was a separate.
Okay, then it's dressing, not stuffing.
How does that work again? Enlighten me. So it's stuffing when it's cooked inside the bird,
exactly,
and dressing when it's cooked in a separate pan.
Yeah.
How do you make yours, Rob?
I do both. I make a big batch. I stuff the bird, and then I bake some.
Alton, of course you make it both ways.
Stovetop. Dressing.
Yeah, well, that's also, don't fall prey to corporate America. That's Big Bread talking to you.
Big Bread. There you go. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. I love the fact that we got to your story about that. I almost missed it.
And welcome home.
That's awesome. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. Welcome home. The war of Northern aggression is the one that kills me. Yes.
Someone there got me sick.
That's yes, that's right. Beware. All right. Well, thank you very much. Rob, was you have some beautiful video for us. We have to move things along.
Josh
here.
Came back with the white supremacist flu.
Hey, everybody, I want to talk about this. Guess what, you gorgeous gourmands?
What?
The most magical holiday treat that you have been yearning for is almost here. We are delighted with it. We know you're going to love it as well. It's the Mike O'Mara Show Family Cookbook. It's at the printers right now. We have pre-orders out the wazoo. Everybody's going to get their copy. Everybody wants it. And we are so happy with the response we have been getting to this Cookbook. You can still get yours. Getting ready for your kitchen bookshelf. It's your ticket to flavorful, fantastic feasting. I have to be honest with you. The recipes in this book are really exciting, and I'm looking forward to trying a bunch of them.
It was really fun when I saw them all together. I mean, it's just a fun read, actually.
There's good stuff in there, and they're only available from us. Zoolander's favorite cocktail, Dude Walker's amazing cookies, Chef Josh's fried green tomatoes, and even amazing offerings from TMOS Nation. All for you. The cookbook will be in your hands before the holidays, and you can pre-order it now at MikeOMaraShow.com. Eat like us. What do you mean, eat like us?
Yeah, because these are our recipes. Eat like us.
Smell our aromas. Taste our flavors. Consume our calories. Be a part of TMOS history. Buy plenty of them and share. It makes a great gift for anyone who likes food. And we know you like food.
Yeah.
The TMOS Family Cookbook. Order it now. Order it often. And please order in multiples of nine.
Number nine.
Be sweet. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry.
Jerry time.
Hot kiss.
2.7 White supremacist flu.
It's the worst. And
yeah,
there's no, Mike, there's no vaccine.
Horrible stuff.
If you love him, you'll help him.
Well, it's terrible.
Chef Josh.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best, top of the line, when you think canned soup, what do you think?
Canned soup? Well, I know the best selling.
Yeah, the brand.
Campbell's.
Of course.
Yeah, right.
A guy has been fired from the Campbell's Soup Company, which I'm sure is under a larger umbrella, but we're just focusing on soup today.
Sure, I get it.
He reported to higher-ups that his supervisor was bad-mouthing the soup. So they fired him. That's when he released this audio of one of the chief operating officers of Campbell's Soup.
For fucking poor people. Who buys their shit? People are fucking stupid. I don't buy Campbell's products barely anymore. It's healthy. Now that I know what the f*** is in it, even in a can of soup, I look at it, look at these bioengineered meat. I don't want to eat a piece of chicken that came from a 3D printer. You?
A new lawsuit filed against Campbell.
That's enough of that, but he doesn't want to eat chicken from a 3D printer.
Bioengineered meat.
Yeah.
Ew.
I ate Campbell's soup last night.
And
now I'm concerned.
Ew. Wow. Okay. Damning. That's amazing.
I think it's great. Mike, this is a traditional clip, and it's a little lengthy, but it's always worth it.
We're going to go out with this today?
Yeah, this will be our closer.
Okay.
Because it's an extended version of it.
All right, I can do the setup on this
as
well.
I wish you would.
Because I love it. And this is old school television, and a lot of people have seen this. We play it because we like to. It's Johnny Carson talking to Doc Severinsen on the eve of Thanksgiving, and they're talking about the holiday.
Yeah. Ed's not there.
Their personal situation. And it's just two of them cracking each other up, and it's fantastic. It really is.
It starts out talking about how ugly of a bird a turkey is.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to it.
Some of the kids would have to get a pet turkey. And at the end of the year, you get attached, and you can't go out.
A pet turkey?
A pet. A pet, you know, they're not...
I mean, you know...
They're not very nice birds to begin with. Turkeys are not your...
They're terrible-looking things.
They're terrible-looking, they're noisy as hell, and they're mean birds.
They are?
But kids would get them, you know. Now you got to go out there and kill them. I couldn't do that.
They deserve it.
What?
They deserve it. Anything that ugly should die.
It's just funny.
So off the cuff, so real.
As you can see, I'm not too crazy about Thanksgiving.
You don't care. No, you really aren't, are you? You're not going to celebrate.
I suppose you'll be home with the family and turkey. Just a typical American family.
That's right. You'll be out there writing the checks. Sending them for the stuffing, huh?
You will have written yours the day before.
They're talking about alimony.
Yeah. In the mails.
And Ed went to deliver his personal.
All of them divorced.
Yep.
But what does he know? With tie askew and nose aglow. Okay. Well, I don't know about you. We're having an awful lot of fun up here, folks. Now, speak.
I'm just going to the Zodi's Day Parade. Watch Big Bertha come by.
Walk home. Look, if you want to, if you really feel badly now, I feel so terrible that you're going to be alone. Would you like?
I didn't say I was going to be alone.
You just said you ain't going to eat no turkey, right?
That's right.
You can come over there. Would you like to come to the house? And
this is the first time you've ever asked.
Well, you made me feel so guilty.
I mean, you, when you ask an employee in front of 15 million people, do you want to come to the house for Thanksgiving dinner? What am I going to say? No. You know what I say? I say, yes, Mr. Carson, I love it.
Can you come?
No.
There it is.
Let's go, Mike. I gotta let it play to the wives.
Yeah, go ahead.
Stuffing. Yeah.
Yep.
We really don't have room anyway.
I'll be in the neighborhood.
I just did it because you made me feel so guilty.
That's good. I'm glad. Tomorrow, when you're eating that turkey, I know you aren't that crazy about turkey.
Not really. Not really. I don't know. You just fell in the habit of it.
Go ahead and eat it and be happy. Look at all the family around you.
Anyway,
it's a great occasion in American history.
It really is. This is from, where's
right
this?
Right down there.
In the bottom.
You usually find out where people sign a letter.
All right. See, you're right.
Right after Sincerely Yours. You can always tell, by the way.
Can you give me whatever you're taking tonight?
I tell you
want to give me a hit on that, whatever it is?
I can't give you any, but I'll sell you some.
I can't give you any, but I'll sell you some. Oh, that's fantastic.
So great. And Johnny. You know, I think the thing about it, I've watched it every year, and I've had people kind enough to say, Thanksgiving doesn't start till we play that clip. The brilliance of that is Johnny's ability to stay silent.
Yeah, 100%.
And you don't see it anymore.
I agree.
He just lets Doc take the reins, and it's magical television.
We've got content for you all week long, so give me the list of stuff that we're going to have. We're going to have
Josh.
Josh,
got,
the
we've got Dylan Narang.
Okay.
The director of Tapawingo on
brand
tomorrow's
new movie
show.
With Napoleon Dynamite in it.
Mm-hmm. We've got Rob Radio on Thursday.
Rob Radio playing your favorites.
And we've got some TMO's Classic on Friday.
That's mm-hmm. it. So we got content all week, and this is our opportunity to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Enjoy your holiday. Be aware. People get giddy and dumb on the road, so keep your eyes open and be patient when you're getting to where you have to go. To everybody in our listening audience that supports this show, we really are grateful, and thankful for sure. We always are, and thank you for continuing to make this happen after all these years. Happy Thanksgiving to you too. I hope you have a wonderful holiday, and
love
we
you
will
guys. Happy
see
Thanksgiving.
You next week. And to your dad, I really hope he has a speedy recovery,
and
he'll be getting out soon. And to the whole family of the Sorokas as well, my very best. Happy Thanksgiving to our listeners, to you as well, and we'll see you next week as we ramp up to the next big thing, which is the TMOS Love Boat Cruise, which I can't believe is here already. Man, oh, man. And over the weekend, you like the show? Buy a cookbook. There you
go.
Do it. My last plug for Josh Sorokin and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying, so long, everybody.
Feel better, Pop. I love you.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I pooped myself one time.
Oh, there's my sausages.
You can't keep getting away with this! You can't keep getting away with it!